Hey, Michael Imperioli, hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So just so our listeners know, we're here talking the new podcast, Talking Sopranos. When I saw this thing was coming out, I was so jacked that it even was a thing, let alone that you were hosting it. It just launched. How is this actually, is it structured? Are you guys going to go chronologically, like by episode or topic, or how's it structured?
Yeah, it's an episode-by-episode rewatch podcast. It also incorporates guests from the show, some of the cast, some of the crew. Not every show has a guest. And, you know, we go through it scene by scene, and we also talk about, you know, memories from, you know, from the time, from around then. We also go into, you know, somewhat how it relates to our lives now, back then. I talk about my career before The Sopranos, after The Sopranos, Steve Scirpa, who also had a life before. He was an actor. He was in the casino business in Las Vegas. But the episodes all, you know, our episodes are synced up with Soprano episodes. So ideally you watch an episode and then you listen to us talk about it.
I love it. Mention really quick your life before Sopranos. Memories real quick of Joe Pesci shooting you in the foot and then and then taking you out in Goodfellas. I mean, so many members of that movie went on into doing Sopranos. Man, do you feel like you know, when Pesci shoots you in that thing and De Niro goes, whoa, you know, are you a made man at that point?
You know, when we shot it, I was 23 or 22, 1989. And it was like, you know, I had done a couple little things in movies, not much, and some plays, and been trying and struggling as an actor for about 6 years by then, you know. So it was like getting called up from the minor leagues to the World Series with the Yankees, you know. That's what that was like for me, to be with those guys who were, you know, big heroes of mine. So that was a big deal, yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, I wasn't sure how it was going to, you know, sometimes you get cut out of a movie. So I wasn't sure how it was going to play. I didn't really read the whole script. I only had my scenes from the movie. So I wasn't sure what it was going to look like on screen or if people would remember it. Or if I had no idea it was going to be a scene that would become, you know, such a memorable one. And we didn't know if the movie was going to be, you know, a hit or a great one or a memorable one. And it turned out to be one of the greats. So that was, you know, very, very critical to my career as an actor, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That spider is. But as for it, pivot back to Christopher, you know, how important do you think what, you know, you and Adriana's relationship in that show? I mean, there was some belief stuff in there, like sitting on stuff. But then you guys could rip our hearts out too. Like, her death was arguably one of the most devastating in the whole thing. But what do you think their relationship brought to the show?
You know, Christopher was a very unstable person, you know, and, you know, where Tony's life was always in danger, of course, because he's the boss and he could be arrested or killed at any time, but there was some relative stability in his life. Like, he had a big house, he had been married for a long time, he had kids, and they were starting, you know, one was going to college, and, you know, Christopher was, you know, always trying to just put it together and keep it together and, you know, rise up the ladder, but, you know, one step forward, two steps back. And that, I think that instability, you know, which also was reflected in their relationship with Adriana, with Christopher and Adriana. I think that instability and volatility was something that always that brought a lot of tension to the show.
Absolutely. And you, the whole father son thing with you, I mean, you're basically Tony's adopted son, you know, to Junior's detriment at some point. But, you know, I love the bond between you guys. And then when you finally read that script of, you know, the pinching of the nose scene at the car crash, when, you know, basically your quote unquote father is taking out his own nose. You know, comfortably numbs playing, the child has grown, the dream is gone lyrics. I mean, there's so much symbolism in that. Do you think that, you know, what's going through Tony's mind at that point that, you know, he would take out his own son?
I think it's, you know, I think it was really important for Tony's character to do something like that, to really show that at the end of the day, you know, he's, you know, a corrupt gangster criminal. You know what I mean? He's not a warm, fuzzy guy who's just this family guy that, you know, he's, you know, a criminal who's really about self-preservation. And, you know, he comes first, you know, which is important because through the course of the series, people, you know, are enamored of him. You know, he become, which is why they tune into the show, because he's likable. And you want to see, you know, him go through life. But right toward, you know, Christopher's death happens almost at the end of the series. And, you know, it drives home the fact that, hey, at the end of the day, you know, he's a gangster.
Yeah. What were you thinking when you, you know, because obviously throughout the different seasons, you're reading the scripts as they come, you know, you're really in your own mind thinking, you know, imagining ways that your character might go or wondering if you're going to survive the thing or not. What goes through your mind as an actor when, you know, when you get that script the first time and you say, oh, all right, this is my time?
I knew about it a long time before, like a year or two before we shot it, before it was written. I knew the story, you know, that storyline, because I was also a writer on the show, so I was privy to a lot of what was going to happen, much more, you know, more than anyone else in the cast. So I thought it was great. I thought it was really important and a great idea.
Awesome. Yeah, as you mentioned, you wrote season 2, From Where to Eternity, season 3, Telltale Model, season 4, Everybody Hurts, season 5, Marco Polo. You wrote a bunch. Is there one particular you're most proud of writing?
The first one, just because it was the first one, you know, and I wrote a spec script between season 1 and season 2 because I had fallen in love with the show during the shooting of season 1. So I wrote this spec script about Christopher ODing and then having these visions of the afterlife and heaven and hell and purgatory and all this. And David really liked it. Said, well, I'm planning on Christopher getting shot so we can use all this. I guess because I think that'll always be my favorite. But the last one I wrote, Marco Polo, as well, because it's a very enclosed episode, almost like a little movie unto itself. That was a really, I like that one a lot, too.
And do you have a favorite episode of that you didn't write, you know, that you, you know, at least were just a part of?
The White Caps episode, which I think it's season 5, I'm not sure. But it focuses mostly on Tony and Carmela's relationship when they're almost getting divorced. They buy this house down the Jersey Shore and their marriage is really crumbling. And there's scenes of them together, alone, you know, really going through, you know, their marital difficulties, and it's just some of the best acting and writing I've ever seen anywhere.
Oh man, James Gandolfini, Edie Falco, you're right, that episode comes to mind too. That's what I would probably pick too for their performances. They just, and it's so raw and believable. They were amazing. You know, we got to, before we jump off here, we got to talk about, you know, everyone always wants to know about the finale. I guess it'll be the very end of your podcast because you're going in order, but Do you have a take on it? I know. I mean, to me, it's obvious, at least within what we're watching, that Tony is killed by the members only guy. You know, it cuts to black in the POV shot. If you want to go back and forth, it's like a series of three patterns with the bell ringing, and it's black on the one that's supposed to be his POV. But I also think there might be a chance that maybe David Chase is effing with us, and it's all a dream because he got that song lyric that says all that you dream, cloud changes scene, all that. But do you have a personal theory, or just in general, that, you know, the public reaction back to that their TV's black?
Well, maybe we should have you on when we do that episode. You have a lot of insight into it. That's very cool.
Hey, I'd be happy to.
You know, you got me thinking about a lot of things. At first I thought he was dead, but then I thought, and then I've heard David Chase talk about it over the years. And one of the lyrics of the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing, is, oh, the movie never ends. It goes on and on and on and on. And I think that's what David was trying to connect to, which doesn't really answer the question. But it's more, you know, it's just more like emotional than it is literal, which doesn't satisfy anybody at all. But that's what I've come to believe.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you've been generous with your time, man. Just final seconds. You know, I think the Writers Guild voted it the greatest written show of all time. What say you? Make your case. Why is Sopranos the greatest show ever?
I think it was the first TV show to bring a cinematic quality of storytelling to television. You know, what people got out of movies like Goodfellas and Godfather and stuff like that. That kind of connection. Sopranos brought that to television.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to listen to the podcast. And hey, yeah, if you want me to hop on the finale, I'm happy to. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.